All right. Well, I'm not sure if you've heard anything I've said so far. We are experiencing a few technical difficulties this morning. But I'll go ahead and begin today by sharing with you something that happened to me this week. I was talking to someone about suffering and hardships. And I've been preaching on that the last several weeks. And this individual said, and I think this is great. He said, you know what people really need in the middle of hardships and suffering is Jesus. And I totally agree with that. But I want to add to it. Not only do we need Jesus in times of hardship and suffering, but we need Jesus all the time. Amen? And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about Jesus and some things that we all need to know and even be reminded of that is very important when it comes to our spiritual lives. There was a drug enforcement officer who showed up unannounced to see an old rancher in Texas. And he walked up to the old rancher and he said, "Listen, I'm here to investigate your property to make sure that you're not growing any illegal drugs." And the old rancher looked at him and he said, "Okay," he said, "that's fine." He said, "but there's one thing I ask, don't go over that fence into that pasture." Well, immediately the officer kind of bowed up and he reached into his pocket and he pulled out his badge and he said, "Sir, do you see this badge?" He said, "This badge represents the authority of the federal government." And he said, "What this badge says is that I can go wherever I want, whenever I want, no questions asked, no answers given." He said, "Do you understand me?" And the old rancher looked at him and he said, "Okay." He said, that's fine. Do whatever you want." And so the old rancher turned around and he began to work again around the ranch. When after several minutes passed by, he heard screaming. And it sounded like that same officer, and so he went running, and sure enough, there was the officer on the other side of the fence in the pasture running from a huge bull. And so the old rancher shouted out to him. He said, "Show him your badge. Show him your badge." That's when I really wish we had laugh tracks that we could throw in. It's hard telling jokes when there's no one here to laugh at your jokes. But that story does have a point. When we begin talking about Jesus, it's important that we talk about authority. Look with me at Colossians chapter 1. I want you to notice what Paul writes. He writes, "The Son of the image of the invisible God." And so he's talking about Jesus. "The firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together, and He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross." And so notice, as we begin to look at this particular passage, Paul shares with us some important things that we need to know about the authority of Jesus. And here's the first. Jesus is all Lord. And this is very important for us to understand, especially today, because every world religion has a place for Jesus. But what other religions will do is they will reduce Him. And they'll say things like, well, he was a really good teacher, or he was a really good person. You see, they don't deny Jesus, but they dethrone Jesus. And Paul says that's not the Jesus that we worship. In fact, if you look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 5 again, notice what Paul says about Jesus. He says, He is the image of who? Of the invisible God. He goes on to say in verse 19, For God in all His fullness was pleased to what? Say it out loud. To live in Christ. In other words, Jesus is fully God. And God is fully in Jesus. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means if you want to know God, if you want to pursue God, there is one and only one path, and that is the way of Jesus. In fact, Jesus Himself says in John chapter 10, verses 30 through 33, He says, The Father and I are what? Say it out loud at home. Are one. Again, the Jews picked up stones to kill Jesus. But He said to them, I have done many good works from the Father. Which of these good works are you killing me for? The Jews answered, We're not killing you because of any good work you did, but because you speak against God. You are only a human, but you say that you are what? You are the same as God. Notice, Jesus was not killed because of anything that He did, but because of what He said, because of who He claimed to be. Jesus is all Lord. Secondly, Paul points out that Jesus is also Lord of all. Look back at verse 15. Notice what He says. He is the firstborn over all creation. Now, I'm sure that many of you have encountered some folks who will tell you some wonderful things about Jesus, but if you listen very carefully to what they say, they will tell you that Jesus is created. And they use this verse to defend that point. But here's the deal. That word firstborn there does not always mean time. It can also mean position. For example, Psalm chapter 89, verse 27, this is what it says of David. I will make him what? My firstborn son, the greatest king on earth. Now, you and I both know that David was not the firstborn in his family. He wasn't even the first king. And so what Paul is trying to get across to us in the book of Colossians is that firstborn is a biblical metaphor for sovereignty and supremacy. In other words, what Paul is saying is that Jesus is Lord over all. He's Lord over everything. In fact, he gets very specific. Let's look at verses 16 through 20 now. And notice what Paul points out. All things are made by Him. All things are made by Jesus. I love the way the Message paraphrases Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It says, For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in Him, in Jesus, and finds its purpose in Him. Also, in John chapter 1, verse 3, John writes, All things were made by Him. He's referring to Jesus. And nothing was made without Him. In other words, nature is not your mother. You hear people say that from time to time. Mother nature. Well, nature is not your mother. Nature owes its existence to Jesus. Nature knows its master. That's why when we read the Gospels, if Jesus wanted fish to swim into a net, let me tell you something. They did. If Jesus cursed a fig tree, guess what? It died. If Jesus told the winds and the waves to stop, to hush, to be still, guess what? They did exactly what He said. Jesus could walk up to a blind man and say, "See," and he would receive his sight. He could walk up to someone who was lame and say, "Walk," and that individual would walk. Why? Because the creation recognizes its master and does what He says. But here's the deal. Jesus is not just creation's source. Jesus is creation's glue. In other words, He holds all things together. Again, go back to our text, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. And notice what Paul writes. In Him, all things what? All things hold together. In other words, if it wasn't for Jesus, everything would be falling apart and flying apart. The Hebrew writer put it like this in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. The Son reflects the glory of God and shows exactly what God is like. He, that's Jesus, sustains the universe by the mighty power of His command. That's why when we were kids in Bible class, we would sing the song, "He's got the whole world in His hand." In other words, Jesus holds everything together, and when He returns, and listen to me, He will return one day. When He returns and tells everything to burn up, it will do exactly that, because it does exactly what the Creator tells it to do. Also, Paul points out that all things were created for Him, for Jesus. If you look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, Paul writes these words, "All things have been created through Him," and what? Say it at home, because this is so important. "And for Him." In other words, creation does not exist for its own sake. It exists to display the greatness of Jesus. I mean, as we stop and as we look around at creation, I know on Tuesday morning I got up and I was heading here to the building and the sun was coming up. And I don't know how many of you were up at sunrise on Tuesday morning, but it was amazing. I mean, the sky was absolutely lit up. I mean, God's greatness was on display. In fact, I just began to praise and worship God. You see, everything we see, everything that exists reminds us of how awesome Jesus is. The creation was made through Him and for Him. But also, all things are subject to Him. Paul says, thrones, rulers, powers, they all answer to Jesus. Let me give you a couple of other examples. The angels are even subject to Jesus. You remember what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 4 through 6? He says, "The Son became much greater than the angels, and God gave Him a name that is much greater than theirs." This is because God never said to any of the angels, "You are my Son. Today I've become your Father." Nor did God say of any angel, "I will be his Father and he will be my Son." And when God brings His firstborn Son into the world, He says, "Let all God's angels," what? Say it at home, "worship Him." You see, the angels are subject to Jesus. The demons are even subject to Jesus. I bet you can't find one biblical example where an angel just absolutely refuses to do what God says. I bet you can't think of one example where a demon says to Jesus, "You can't make me do that." No, when Jesus showed up, the demons shuddered and they did what they were told to do because they knew that they were under His authority. But also the church is subject to Jesus. And this is really important for us to hear today. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Again, notice what Paul writes here. He says, He, that's Jesus, is head of what? Head of the church, which is His body. Now, the reason this is so important for us to hear today is because so oftentimes, I believe as Christians, we're tempted to believe or we're tempted to think that this is our church. You don't need to sing those songs, or you need to sing those songs, or you need to do this program. You need to do what I tell you to do. And the truth of the matter is, no one owns the church except for Jesus. It's His church. But let me add one other thing as well. Even death is subject to Jesus. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 through 57, this is what Paul writes. And I love this passage. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death. And the law gives sin its power. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is made by Him. Everything is subject to Him. But also, Paul says this, all things are reconciled through Christ. Going back to Colossians, this time verses 18 through 20, Paul writes, For God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through Him, God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Listen to me this morning. Everything that sin has marred, everything that sin has fractured, all of it is made right again because of what God did through Jesus Christ on the cross. There's nothing more to add. There's nothing more that God needs to do. Jesus has bridged the gap between us and God, making us right with God. Now, let me stop right there and say this. I want to be careful here because universal reconciliation does not mean universal salvation. In other words, I'm not saying that all will be saved. What I am saying is that all can be saved. And all that will be saved have this in common. They have made peace with God through Jesus Christ. You see, what happened on the cross was more than just Jesus being taken and punched and beaten and spat upon and nailed to a cross. No, it also brought reconciliation for all of God's creation with the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10 says, Let us know His secret purpose. This is what God wanted, and He planned to do it through who? Through Christ. His goal was to carry out His plan, and now He tells us what that plan was. When the right time came, that all things in heaven and on earth would be joined together in Christ as the head. Now here's the challenge for us as Christians to model to the world what God is doing through Jesus. In other words, the world should see what God is doing by looking at us. And some of you may be saying, well, how? Well, first of all, through unity. Listen to me this morning. There should be an undeniable and attractive oneness by any two people who decide that they are followers of Jesus. But I know oftentimes what can happen is you will see Christians who divide and split and fight and fuss. And when we do that, people don't see what God is doing through Jesus. And so we have to be unified. We have to show the world God's love that lives within us. Listen to me. If you meet anyone who is a follower of Jesus, be reminded that you have met an ally, not an enemy. Jesus says, by the love that you show towards each other, the world will know that you are a follower of mine, that you are one of my disciples. They'll see what God is doing through Jesus. But then let me also add this. We model what God is doing through Jesus by getting rid of all competing allegiances. And that's really hard, because what that takes is a daily, really ruthless examination of ourselves. Asking ourselves on a daily basis, is Jesus first in my life? Because here's the deal, and for those of you who are taking notes on the outline that I had posted up on our webpage, the very first question actually ended up being the last question. I wanted to tack this on the end. But too many people have too many things competing for their affection. Whether it's their job, whether it's school, maybe it's a hobby, or maybe it's some sport. And all those things are not bad things in and of themselves, but they don't belong first. Jesus does. And so in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, and Lord willing, we'll talk more about this next week. Notice what Paul writes as he writes about the authority of Jesus. He says he is head of the body, which is the church. Everything comes from him. He is the first one who was raised from the dead. And this is the New Century Version, and I love how this reads. So in all things, Jesus has what? Say it at home. Has first place. Does Jesus have first place in your life? Remember what Paul says. He is Lord. And He is Lord over all. And really, that's where our walk with Christ begins. Realizing who He is and who we are. We are His servants, and we're called to serve Him and to live for Him. And I think one of the greatest ways that we can be reminded of that is through worship. In fact, if you would sing a song with me this morning, and then we'll partake of the Lord's Supper. I think most of you will know this by heart. Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How He loves me, how I love Him. He is risen, He is coming. Lord, come quickly. Alleluia. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Alleluia. 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 Lord, come quickly. Alleluia. If you have the Lord's Supper ready, you can go ahead and take that out this morning. We'll have a scripture posted up on the screen, and you can read that to be reminded